here, so Google search him, but he's like, I have to tell these kids, you know, like, if you're going to be drinking and driving, you got to get cocaine to stay in the head. He's like, is nobody telling the children how to do this correctly?
Keep them alert.
Yeah, I did a lot of cocaine when I lived in San Diego, and I was going back and forth from L.A. a lot. And if you're in L.A. traffic and it's nighttime and you're not on cocaine, you're the only one, okay? Everyone else is on it. I was, too.
One more Sean Roush joke. He's talking about a buddy of his smoking a joint that was dipped in formaldehyde.
Oh, God, the PCP, and the then, fake PCP.
He said, he goes, I talked to the guy the next day, and he goes, the guy was started freaking out. He said all these demons came to show up and drag him off to hell. And after that, he was so scared that, he didn't do drugs anymore. And he just went to church. And he was like, what a horrible drug. I was like, could you imagine that? You wake up and you're like, you know it's a bad drug when you do it. And then you wake up and you're like, I have a belief system now.
That's so funny.
That's how salvia made me feel.
Oh, I hate that shit.
I felt like my bottom jaw shot through my skull. And the first time I smoked that shit, I was driving.
Okay, I was driving. No way.
You talked to the aliens while you were driving?
I was driving.
That's insane.
And I had
really dangerous.
I had this piece of metal that came off this thing that, like, you go fishing, you stick it into the ground, and then you hook the fish's lip and keep them in the water so they stay fresh or whatever till you're done. And I took the little ring out, and then I took a socket, and I duct taped that around, and I, like, went to, like, a public bathroom and took a screen out of the sink and put that in there. And I packed it, so it was like a fat one-hitter. Packed it full of salvia. I'm driving my 1987 Chevy Caprice Classic. I got the fiance. My buddies are in there. And I take it, and I hit it, and I hold it in, and I blow it out. And, like, I was like, I can't. I got to pull.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, we got to pull. And I, like, pulled into Target. I parked in, like, three spots. And then I got super pissed off at everyone. I'm like, we got to go to Target and pretend like we didn't do drugs. And I'm, like, trying to walk in, and I couldn't. I was, like, falling down.
Dude,
it was so bad.
The first time I did it, we were watching Empire Strikes Back, and they were jumping out of the screen. And so, like, I'm going around in circles in my living room, like, Steve, what the fuck is this shit? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this to me? Oh, my God. Like, the creatures, they're coming out of the TV. It was really weird. And then I lived on the third floor, so I kept looking at the TV and then looking at the window and looking at the TV. I'm like, I should jump out of this window. Anytime that I'm so high and I'm talking about jumping out of the window, yeah, I'm not doing that shit anymore. I wanted to literally jump out the window.
But you remember, you both remember the entire time, like, you never got taken to the other place?
I remember, like, the emotions and feel. Luckily, I never did enough of that shit to, like...
It was, the thing is, I wasn't there. I wasn't lucid. I got for whatever, I guess it was only, like, 8 minutes or whatever. I wasn't there. It was like, and I knew where I was because I remember it all vividly, but it was in with the space and the tsunami string and the Technicolor tsunami string on the kids' playground and them telling me, come on, and people being sucked into the sky. And like, whoa. I'm like, I'm not going. But I guess that in real life, I sat on the top of the sofa and they were worried I was going to fall off and there was something. I woke up sitting on the sofa and I was like, oh. And they were like, are you okay? I was like, I'm here now.
You and thought you went, ooh, you went
well,
to the other
one. Well, I came back. They wanted to take me with them, and I said, no. But the thing is that I was, like, in such an outer body experience that I wasn't there.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it was this big playground, and I climbed to the top of this, one of those old school ones with the triangles, you know, like the when you were little and the triangles of... And there was like a swing set over here, and I remember the ground, like, and I was sitting on top of it with somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but they got sucked into the spaceship. Oh, it like this huge tsunami of like, it was like, there's this spaceship up there, and they were pulling everything on strings, and they were trying to get, and I was pushing against the wave of tsunami strings, and they kept saying, hey, Pam, it's all a nothing you believe is real, it's all a construct, come with us, everything's cool, just everything you believe is nothing, come with us, we're going in the spaceship right now, you're coming with us, right? And I was like, I am not going in your spaceship.
It was wise for you not to go on that spaceship, because you probably would have went elsewhere.
Maybe that's the light.
That is... No shit.
Come I'm like, us. Salvia. But everybody who's taken it, everyone else who's taken it has had, they knew where they were. Like, they knew that they were themselves where they were. I knew that I was myself where I was, but I wasn't in that room. And I've never hallucinated like that before.
The biggest hallucination I ever had was off the fucking nightmare juice.
Oh,
because it's like, you know, whenever you get drunk and you get, like, the spins?
Yeah.
I, like, at one point, like, it was like being on, like, a merry-go-round that was going viciously, and my out-of-body, like, I felt like my soul was getting kicked out of my body, and I was, like, getting pulled back, and I could look down and see myself just sleeping there.
Oh.
And I had to, like, use all my strength to, like, force my soul back into my body, and then I... So I don't know if it was, like, some intense, weird dream that I was having while I was all fucked up. Dude, I tell you what, that stuff reacted very poorly with me.
I'll never do salvia again. I'll never do DMT.
DMT, I will, like, in, like, a shamanistic type ritual and, like,
I will never do bath salts.
I'll
never do bath salts ever again.
Oh, again? You've done it?
You did it once?
You've done it? Oh, you have to tell us about bath salts.
Oh, my God, it was terrible.
You have to, that's
right. It was fucking, okay, Steve again, the guy that gave me a salvia.
Not me, by the way.
No. My friend.
Different person.
Different Steve, he's my boy, but he is a fucked up Korean. He gave us bath salts. We were going to this Johnny Walker taste. So it's like six of us. So we're like, Steve's like, hey guys, since we can't get any cocaine, I got some bath salts. And we're like, bath salts? What? This is before the whole eat your face thing.
I was going to say, geez.
Before the eat your face thing in Florida. And so basically, you know, six of us, so we all do the bath salts, we all snort. And it's like a hard, harsh, like, it's so harsh going up your nose. It's painful. It's almost like, I don't know, I've never did meth, but I guess that's what meth would feel like.
A burning kind
of? It's a burning sensation in your nose.
Oof.
And so we're on our way there, and we're just all six of us are just feeling funny, with the exception of that motherfucker Steve.
He's didn't
just
take it?
No, he did. Okay. He's just a fucking weirdo. But so we're at the tasting, and one of the dudes, you know, he's talking about Johnny Walker, and it's like in a big, like, place, and all of us are looking at each other, and we're just all like this and moving around. Like, you can tell we were crack. Well, you guys can't see it, obviously, but right. We look crackish.
They were in a they Twitchy. Were on a dance.
We
team.
Were crackish.
They were on
and
a Twitch pop.
And
dance
we were starting
team.
To sweat.
Oh,
and
yes.
You know, we were like Tyrone Biggums. Seriously, like,
how did it feel? What was the like?
It was so speedy, and you were agitated, speedy, and it was like you. We were pissed off.
Really?
We were
was
pissed
there any
off.
Hallucinations?
There was no. It's just it's all speed. It's just so much speed, and you feel this ego, but you feel like a monster. Like, I want to rip his face off. And, but like, we're all mad at Steve because like it's like having bad drugs, basically. It was just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It was fucking terrible. And then we decided to do more.
Oh, why?
And after that, it just goes downhill. There was some arguing and some, like, tears. It was like a wave of emotion, but weird,
and
agitated emotion.
Johnny Walker, I mean, drinking
and then
whiskey.
We were drinking scotch.
I mean,
yeah.
Everyone cries when they drink
how
scotch.
How classic.
Everybody
I mean, that's just really,
cries.
You know, you got people, like, nice, looking formal, and, like, we look crackish.
Right.
And you're just,
twitching
like,
and sweating.
Twitching and sweating. Yes. I felt like a
And
then
and
I could not sleep. I was, like, it was terrible. And I was, like, still agitated, and I started cleaning stuff, and I'm, like, this is almost as bad as meth. Because that is what it is. It's synthethic meth, y'all.
It's synthetic meth.
Synthetic meth.
But stop it.
That
and
might be the
older, that
the
what
new
it
ones,
is?
Like meth and LSD combined. Like, that's where the face eaters come from.
Yeah.
These are the things that they manufacture in China, and they're just like one
and it's
thing
legal.
Off.
One
and
little
so
molecule.
Legal.
It's fucking
one
legal. That shit
molecule off. That sucks.
It is.
That
it is like the worst come down ever.
But that's but then people want to do it. The kids will do whatever. The kids are so bored. That's why meth is a problem in the Midwest, right? Because
and
like,
here. And
here, well, because kids get bored.
Yeah.
I mean, and
there's a big meth problem like on the West Coast. But
I think there's a big meth problem everywhere, man. Everywhere
heroin,
I go, they're like, we're the king of meth.
Heroin is the East Coast, though.
Yeah, well, actually, heroin now is coming in more because you see it more with the pharmaceutical stuff that gets them hooked.
Right, the
Oxycontins.
Yeah.
Another thing I will not touch.
I got a little hooked on those. Not bad, but like I actually had like an injury. And then I found that if I took more than the prescribed dosage, I felt great. And so, yeah, I got into those for a minute. And then I didn't realize it was, a problem until a buddy of mine, broke his hand in a party. And I was all excited, like, dude, you're going to get some pain pills, man. You should kick me one or two. And he's, crying, his bones sticking out of his hand. I'm like, dude, it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. This is awesome. I can't believe it. You're so lucky, dude.
Oh, you're the god.
Sobriety.
We're talking.
Dude, that shit fucking tears you up.
Sobriety is the condition of not having any measure levels or effects from mood-altering drugs.
Yeah, see, so technically it's like I'm not riding sober because I still have CBD and, small.
Sobriety is continued abstinence from psychoactive drug use. Sobriety is also considered to be the natural state of a human being.
That's a
given
good way
at birth.
To put it, a natural state. I haven't been in a natural state since I was probably 14 or 15 years old, and that's what I'm going for now. Like, once I get this 2 months of the no pot smoking, no drinking, then the next round is cigarettes and caffeine. We're getting rid of all this
nice.
Bullshit.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're cleaning your body.
Sobriety has specific meanings within specific contexts, such as culture of many substance use recovery programs, law enforcement, some schools of psychology. In some cases, sobriety implies achieving life balance. Life balance. All right. Here we go. That's fine.
See, life balance. I feel out of balance. I'm coming back more into balance. But I don't, it's not a struggle, though. I enjoy it.
That's good, then.
Because when I look at that, that's the thing, is I think it's, I believe strongly in the momentum. That's when you've been drinking for a while, and you got all the momentum going with the drinking, and you're like, maybe I should quit, but this is my routine now.
Right.
And
the thing is, since you've done it all, it's just okay, so let me try this, cleaning myself, changing a lifestyle, changing another chapter. Not saying that I'm not, once in a while going to partake or anything, but at the same time, you're going back to your balance, basically.
It's almost like the same way I looked at acid when I was younger and first learning about hallucinogens, I now think about in terms of, not being in a natural state. What is that like? I wonder what that would feel like. No nicotine, no caffeine, no THC, no alcohol. Just me. Ugh, it sounds awful on paper.
Aww. Yeah, but a lot of people can't do it.
That is true. Or you can do it up until a certain point where something catastrophic or pressure gets coming, and then you need something to help cope. I think that's the big. I mean, it's easy to be sober on a sunny Friday afternoon. Having fun.
I disagree. If it's a sunny Friday afternoon and I'm like, what am I gonna do with my day off? I'm like, fuck, what am I gonna do? Bender's opens at 2. I'm gonna go day drinking. Look what I'm gonna do with my beautiful day.
That's sometimes on me on Sunday.
I can't not. I mean, I don't know what to do if I'm not. If I have a day off, I feel like sometimes even I take a lot of work with the babysitting on because I know I have to be sober for it. And so
I think there's plenty to do. I think since, we're lucky to live in this area, just to get out of the city and go someplace is, that's what I've been trying to do instead of Sunday fun day day drinking, using Sundays for just going exploring because there's so much to explore.
It's Shuber Shabbos. I don't touch money. I don't do work. I don't answer the fucking phone, dude.
Shuber Shabbos.
Exactly.
Well, dude, you're not even fucking Jewish, man.
Now that that Jonathan's stupid football is over, I can't have Sundays back with him. They won't let me listen to any of the. I'm trying to get the rehab stuff up. And
yeah,
just
rehab bartender song.
We can play that. I have it all up. So you guys are. I am definitely on Alta California Botanicals right now. You guys are listening to the AltaCast.
You're on YouTube.
Mood altering botanicals.
Right now, while you're listening to this, look in the mirror and say botanicals 5 times and just look at your fucking face while you say it. You can't stop laughing. It's insane. This is the physical challenge portion of the AltaCast.
This is rehab bartender song sitting at a bar. Here on MutinyRadio.fm.
Tender, I really did it then. my parole to have a good time. When I got home, it was 6 a.m. The door was locked, so I kicked it in. She was tripping on the bed.
Oh. Our computer boxes are so unhappy with us and the rest of our lives. It's just what happens here at Mutiny Radio. Sometimes the internet goes wonky funky. It happens. It's okay. Well, it could also be the ghost in the machine saying, fuck you for playing a country song. Thanks, Steve Poggi. That was his request. I'm like, all right, it has the word rehab in it. That's fine. Yeah, drinking. Oh, God. Fuck. I don't know. I don't like country music. Some people love it. You know, let them. I don't know.
I just went back to Missouri there for a minute.
Did you?
Had a flashback.
Flashing back all the way.
Flashback of Southwest Missouri, the Ozarks.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
I couldn't even point to that on a map.
Oh, we're in the Ozark Mountains? Yeah, that's some real hillbilly country.
I'm trying to find some sort of, oh, it's because the YouTube went down. It's okay.
Oh, YouTube went down. That was not us. That was them.
No, I'm sure it's our fault. I'm sure it's my fault. You guys are listening to the AltaCast here on MutinyRadio.fm every Wednesday from noon to 2, followed by Y. Steinberg's Think, Grow, Love Radio. She's coming back. I'm excited for her meditation times. Yehudit and her meditation. Good stuff. So this is the AltaCast here on MutinyRadio.fm. I'm your host, Pam Benjamin. I'm joined by LaToya, the Sheriff of Truth Win.
Hola.
And Steve Poggi, comedian.
I want
Steve
a cool
Poggi.
Nickname like Sheriff of Truth. Man, I'm just fucking...
You got Poggi.
Hey, here's fucking old dumb face. That's what we got.
Sobriety. I usually equate sobriety with meaning stick in the mud, but it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
Well, speaking of stick in the mud, can we talk about the game so I can maybe get some ideas from the listeners?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Give us a call, 415-550-0511.
So here's how the game works. Being sober and excited, the person that I have an interest in now is not the same thing. Like, they're not sober. Like, they're far more tame in anything that I've ever done. Like, they've, you know, been told what to do their whole life through academics and everything else, and I've never listened to anybody. So we're going out on this date, and we're going to go to Point Reyes and do, like, trail walking. So we're both performers, so I decided to make up this little game to help the date kind of move along, break the ice, and act kind of goofy and silly and stupid. So the idea being is you have, like, a plastic bag, and then you have these things printed out, and they're all rolled up, so it's just like a plastic bag with a little paper balls in there. And then, you know, you take turns drawing one of the things, and then you have something to do. So the ones that I have so far...
Do you need some ribbon? You can take some ribbon from us. So you can tie ribbon. Them. In the little box, there's ribbon. I'll give you ribbon so you can tie them. It'll be... Make them look like antique
like
scrolls.
No, because then you're going to get in there to shuffle them all up, and they're going to come apart.
No, they won't. Not if you tie them with a little bow.
Well, here's the thing. After you do the thing, you have to eat the paper. I didn't just talk about that.
No.
So these are the activities. It's a combination of activities and questions. And it's kind of like at midnight to where, like, you're going to get points, but the points don't really matter. So the first one is slow dance to a David Bowie song. That was top priority. I wanted to put that out there. Tell an embarrassing story. List your pet peeves. Who has been the biggest influence in your life? What should I know about you that I'd never think to ask? When was the last time you pissed your pants? That was a Benjamin submission. How like a wolf for 10 seconds? Tell a story from your childhood in the Christian Bale Batman voice. Have a photo taken of you with T-Rex arms and post it to Facebook. Say a comic saw a comet on circa closed circuit closed captioning 5 times fast. Do your best river dance for 30 seconds. Tell a story when you were scared as a pirate. Draw a dirty picture on the trail. Rap about pizza for 30 seconds.
Oh my God.
Staring contest, reciting movie lines, first one to laugh loses. Best Chewbacca impression, tell a stranger your spirit animal. And if you got $10 million, what's the first thing that you would do? So, and then also there's like reversals or, you know, take two things. So if you have any more ideas of what you can, what would be fun to do, you know, let me fucking know, however you do that.
Nice. Give us a call, 415-550-0511.
I'm going to get there. I'm going to be like, hey, I got this fun little game. She's like, that is the stupidest shit I have ever fucking heard of. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I think that's awesome. You date creatively. No one does that anymore.
I'm trying to, man, because you can't just, because that's
the thing. No one does that anymore.
When you don't have the, oh, let's, you know, let's just get a six pack and sit by the water. Like that kind of, you have to have igniters to get conversations and stuff going. And plus, I feel like if you're comfortable acting like, you know, a T-Rex in front of somebody, then you're going to be comfortable around that person, right?
Yeah.
There's a method to this myth. Yeah. And if you want to get the things for the game, I think the best thing to do is I'm going to like type them out in email. So if you want the email, I can email it to you. And then if you add more to it or if you create your own, you can submit them so we can get like a master kind of list thing going. Because after you've done them before, you don't want to be on another date, assuming you want to play again. And then, you know, oh, I get to do the T-Rex thing again. Like, fuck, great, this is fun. You know, you got to keep the ideas fresh. But they're kind of hard to think up.
Well, making people interact, that's nice. It's like speed dating, but long form.
It's like speed dating without the bath salts.
Without the bath
salts. And agitation.
That would be... Someone needs to write that scene into a movie. Someone takes bath salts in a comedy. Someone takes bath salts before they go to a speed dating thing.
Oh,
oh my God.
It's like an Amy Poehler feature or something, right?
Yeah.
Like
that would be hilarious, actually.
All right. We are about 30 minutes away from Think, Grow, Love with Y. Steinberg. Coming up here on Mutiny Radio. I am so high. It's 1:27, which means that it's time for you to go out to your local dispensary and ask for it by name, Alta California Botanicals.
Botanicals.
Best stink in the biz. All right, we were talking about sobriety, which I certainly am not right now.
Right. I have plenty of fucking... I was a drunk idiot guy. One time I was at a fancy upscale friend of a friend's place, wasted as fuck again, and it was like a nice like condo that they had, and I was there, you know, like they're like, oh dude, this is Steve, he's our buddy, he's fun to hang around, he's all good. And I got there and I went into their bathroom and like vomited, sprayed all over
oh
the toilet,
God.
Like down the side of it, on the carpet and everything. And then walked out, was like, all right guys, we gotta go, it's been nice meeting you. And then I just walked outside and like laid in a bush for an hour until the guy, the girlfriend of the host came down and was like, what the fuck did you do to the bathroom? I'm like, we left, you can't do nothing about it.
We, you and yourself.
Just me. My ride wasn't leaving. They were like, ooh, we're gonna have fun, even though he destroyed the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Wow, you didn't even try to clean it up.
I didn't know anything. I was so embarrassed that this happened because I was like, oh, I gotta puke, but I wasn't expecting it to like spray out like a radius.
Did you not open the seat?
No, I don't even think I crouched down. I just went and fucking doused everything with Cheetos or whatever I ate.
All your DNA sprayed.
Oh man.
And your Doritos.
There was that. There was one time we played beer pong, but we had Captain Morgan in the Cubs.
Oh yeah.
And I was drinking Camo XXX tall cans.
What the fuck?
For a while, I had a thing for horrible liquor. So like Colt 45, King Cobra 40 ounces.
Some bullshit.
Yeah, I thought bullshit. I was tough by drinking this shit. No,
oh
it was just very unpleasant to be around.
Oh, no way.
I don't like malt liquor. It does not go with my self.
I can't. Hell no. I don't like no 40s. That shit tastes like piss.
Yeah.
And when it's warm,
warm piss.
Even like when it's Miller, still it's like, ooh.
One time I had a buddy that went to Europe and he went to Holland and he bought a bottle of absinthe and mailed it back to me, and it was like a traditional like wormwood recipe kind of thing. And so me and my cousin's husband, who I think they were just dating then, and one of his buddies, we meet up in Concord somewhere. And like, you're supposed to prepare absinthe by, it's supposed to be like incredibly chilled, like Jägermeister, right? And you're supposed to pour it over a sugar cube to kind of cut out some of the bitterness, and like with water and stuff. And like, there's like a special absinthe tools that you use.
You light the sugar on fire, and then
this shit sat in my car in the sun for 2 days. Then we poured it into fucking oversized wine glasses and shot it.
What?
And it was funny. I fucking choked it down, and I thought to myself, I don't hate myself enough to drink this like regularly. And then the cousin's husband put it in, and it just came right back out. And then he thanked me for it. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty amazing. Like, I gave you something that made you fill up. Like, your body reacted as if it was Drano.
Oh,
and
my
God. He thanked me for it.
Oh, hell no.
Well, I had it at a bar here in the Mission years ago when it became legal or whatever here. And some absinthe company was having a party, and they were like $12 a piece, and they were doing it with all their sugar and all their shit and blah, blah. And I'm like, $12? Jesus, it's not worth that much to me.
I think Marilyn Manson got into the absinthe market for like a little while. He had his own absinthe.
We used to have absinthe at the bar that I worked at in Chicago, and we used to do it the classic way like that. It was really fun.
C.S. Lewis was really big on that shit when he was doing The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I think.
Wow, that's
cool. I think that's
cool.
How I had first encountered it, was looking at his Wikipedia page.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because C.S. Lewis was super Christian. Anyway, we don't have to get into that today.
Wind it down here on the botanical bash.
Jesus wasn't sober. He loved wine.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a good dude.
Yeah, he liked wine, man.
We should say something about David Bowie and stuff. Yeah. You were sad about
Oh, yeah, dude. I cried like a little baby
you
for
cried?
About a day. Oh,
oh,
yeah, dude. He's like my, he's one of my favorite heroes.
Really?
Totally was, yeah. My aunt took me to go see him with Nine Inch Nails when I was 14 at Riverport Amphitheater in St. Louis.
Oh, shit. Now it's like fucking Old Navy fun zone or something. Some corporation bought it.
Of course they did. This is in St. Louis, by the way. And it like changed my life. It really did. It was really, it's really
was
weird.
Was Bowie headlining?
It was the Outside Tour.
Outside Lands?
No, Outside Tour.
Oh, Outside Tour.
His album, The Tour.
Oh, yes, oh, okay. Yes, yes. I see where you're
And it was just, about. The it, opening band was just it was, awesome too.
It was just, yeah, it was really like one of those experiences, like when you see one of your favorite artists and you're just like frozen, it was like that, you know? And I have everything by him, everything. And I keep spinning around in this chair, sorry. but like, you know.
I'm sorry for your loss then.
Yeah, everyone's been like saying that to me, like I knew him. But it's weird, like I've been reading some like the feeds and stuff, and like I'm not the only asshole that feels that way, so.
No, yeah. Actually I've been really surprised about the reaction to his loss, because like, you know, Lemmy just died and Scott Weiland just died, but like there hasn't been the outpouring of emotions.
Natalie
like
Cole
Bowie.
Fans.
But I feel like a lot more females were into David Bowie than they were necessarily like Lemmy or Scott Weiland. So I don't know if that has like it helped someone through some sort of time or something.
If you know, the thing is, it's just like it, you know, his artistry of things too, you know, and what he did, you know, and not even just in the music, but in art form and politically, you know, he was talking about he came out on MTV back in 1983, and he asked them why they didn't play black videos. And there's an old clip of it, too, that's been posted
really?
All over
like
the place.
YouTube?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And then, you know, even with, like, you know, saying that he was bisexual when it was, like, such at a time when it wasn't acceptable to even be that or come out or play with it, you know, that's something to think about, you know, androgyny, you know, that's an art form, you know.
You know.
I a lot of my boyfriends used to wear eyeliner, so.
There you go.
You know, there I go. you know, so.
It feels like during that time period, though, there was more of like a, like pre-internet, there was more of like a mythology built around stuff. Because it was like, there was no like endless database of information that you could just, you know, punch in and stuff. So it's like someone would tell you like, oh man, yeah, did you hear fucking David Bowie and Trent Reznor hooking up? Or like you'd hear all kinds of weird shit like that.
Yeah.
And that's just like all just gone.
Yeah. It's like it's like playing telephone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in some way, I think that's like how like legends and like urban legend kind of people came up. I think those are kind of over. I don't think you're gonna have that anymore.
No,
I think Bill Murray is the last
one.
Dude,
and you were just talking about Lemmy.
He could show up at the bar anywhere.
Yeah, and you were talking about Lemmy. He used to always hang out at the Rainbow Club in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, you could just go there and you'll run into him.
Yeah, you know? But it's like you don't. There's no, everyone now is a brand.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
this is
yes,
the brand. What's your logo for your brand?
It's not about the music. It's about, yeah, how many Cokes can you sell?
And not even music. It's just, it's all artists now. Everyone's.
And the funny thing about that is David Bowie hated that period of his life when he was doing that, you know, when he was, you know, when he sold out, he says. He hated that period. He's just like
soundtrack
okay.
for Pretty Woman in 1990. Is that what we're talking about?
No, he didn't do that.
No, he was on it. Bang! That song was on the.
Was that on the Pretty Woman?
It was on the Pretty Woman soundtrack. I had it.
Oh, the
on
remake.
Tape.
Oh, the remake. The 1990 one. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
With
that's right. I forgot about
Julia
that soundtrack.
Julia Roberts.
With Julia Roberts.
Oh,
yeah.
That movie's stupid. I fucking hate that movie.
Yeah. Well, the myths that we perpetuate.
Oh, gosh.
So silly.
But anyway.
David Bowie.
Yeah. And I, you know, during the time, like, with, like, Let's Dance and all that, you know, when he was always, like, always on MTV and trying to sell stuff, and, you know, he said he hated that period. You know, he wasn't creative.
You know, manufacturing.
Right. He wasn't creative, so he stopped doing it. But you see,
I mean,
so many.
The opportunity to have money would be so.
But once you have that money, then you're not worried about it anymore. Then you almost.
But the thing is, like, in order to do it, you have to tap dance and shuffle and act like a fool and sell your soul to somebody.
Play the clown.
Yeah. Dance monkey. You know.
Dance, magic, dance.
You.
Move, magic, move. I can't do the rap part. It's a double with the babe at the bar.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yes, MC Pam.
That was a good song.
But I mean, yeah, you were talking about how everything is a brand, and it's just like, and even the brand isn't even an art form. It's just like you don't even try.
Yeah.
It's just boring.
It's excuses to get untalented people involved with talented people. Like, I'll run your social networks and your Twitter feeds. I'll just put out your stuff for you.
Exactly.
Well, if you do have somebody working like 8 hours a day to try to promote you, something has to happen somewhere, doesn't it?
I mean, it's the classic thing of, you know, if you slap the Tide logo in front of enough people's faces so many times, they're going to just be programmed to buy Tide.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's information that we got from the Nazis with their like propaganda and shit. That's what I think of all of our marketing. All of our marketing is backed from Hitler. And how he was able to brainwash a country, and the United States was like, dude, we're capitalists. Write this shit down.
Yeah.
We're going to sell fucking teddy bears with this shit.
Yep.
Well, I'm just, I don't want to get political. I just don't want to. But I was talking with some comedians and Jonathan the other night, and some of the guys from FTW, too, Forever Two Wheels, Mondays, 8 to 10. And we're outside talking about, like, socialism and why it doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. And I said, the problem is that we in our country or in our society, we don't value work equally. And I think that work, whether it's digging a ditch or building something or taking care of someone or taking care of a baby or writing a story or whatever, okay, all of that is work. And all of that work should be equally valued across the board. And then Ian Levy was like, well, let me play devil's advocate. What's the incentive for people to want to be doctors and all that stuff? And I'm like, well, if all the education's free and you can do whatever you want and all of your work is valued the same, then you can do whatever you want to do. You just have to work at something. And it'll eventually work out because people will want to be doctors and people will want to be lawyers. And it's just socialism. You just don't. Just all work is valued the same. But people can't do that. They're like, well, the people that make my clothes, the Bangladeshi, it needs to be less. Or, like, we're all people, and everybody can give their skills equally, and it bothers me that some people's work, which is harder than ours, is valued, like, so less.
Yeah, but then that would get boring. You wouldn't have anyone to fight and cuss about.
Well, but wouldn't it be better if instead of spending time fighting and cussing, we all found ways to, like, build together and sound like that?
There's no, botanicals. If we just sat around and looked at rainbows and petted our dogs and, you know, fed each other's cats, this we could make this happen. Yeah. No, there's people genetically that are just cunts. And that's because of those people. And as we get more people on this planet, we get more cunts, all right? Our cunt levels are rising and skyrocketing through the stock market's crashing. The cunt market's rising. And we need to, I think we should give everyone a 3 foot by like inch and a half stick. And if someone fucks with you bad enough and you have the capabilities to hit them with your stick, you should be able to hit them with the stick. And you know, if they're somewhere else and you know they're away from you and they can't interfere, then you can't hit them with your stick. So you can't give them, you know. I'm just saying, if we all just hit each other with sticks, I think we could get to the bottom of the cunt market issue.
You know, I do kind of agree with you a little bit in that.
Take a swing.
Well, there have been times where for it to be acceptable for me, and metaphorically speaking, to be able to be like, to tell someone when they're being a cunt, to be like, you know, I wouldn't want to use like the literal stick, but if you could like actually be honest with people and they would take it and you would say like, wow, you are really being a cunt right now. And they were like, oh, I can take that feedback in some way.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
Change.
No one wants to hear that they're a cunt unless they're at the rock bottom.
No one wants to. We're putting feminism back like 5 to 7 years, but we're pushing comedy forward, I feel like, at least 6 to 7 months.
Anything where it's just about one person or one group getting better shit, I feel like you're like, it's like almost like a reverse racism. Like, it's not like these people should get more of this. It's like all people should be at this level. And if they're not at this level, we need to, you know, make sure they get up to that level. Not like, oh, I'm a female, so I'm supreme ruler of the universe because I cut my hair short and I've got a mustache. Like, that's not, I don't enjoy that kind of feminism. I don't support those people. All right, you can blow your F-ness out your assholes.
Fair enough.
I got nothing on that one.
I got nothing.
See, if we had a stick, maybe we could push the dial.
We could figure it out. If you guys come down to the studio on 21st in Florida, 2781 21st Street, there's this really kind of cool, weird, new art thing up, and it's all of these labor heroes from the world. Some of them I didn't know who they are, but they're all these little explanations, and they're written by Bill Morgan, who is the Bee on Saturdays from 10 to noon, and his show is called Labor and Love, and it's all about like labor issues and communism and stuff.
Dude, it's really sad to come down here and read these things and see the kind of shit that someone had to sacrifice their life in order to achieve. It's like,
and we take it for
Harry
granted.
Harry Bridges was gunned down because he said he should have a 15-minute break. It's like, oh yeah, God, man. That shit was fucking, like, it was borderline slavery, basically. Like, there was not really work. It was just rich people and dumb fucks who put widgets together.
And, yeah. All the child labor laws, all that stuff. Like,
dude, it is really crazy.
Little fingers deft work.
And you know what's weird is you would think coming down here and reading this stuff would inspire you, because all these people's messages were so admirable and noble, but they all got executed. So you're just like, oh, we're just an evil set of creatures is what we are. Solar flare. Let's knock out the electricity and start over.
Well, that's,
I think,
the
we
thing.
Take it for granted. I really do. I think we really take it for granted. And people don't realize, like, these people, you know, what they did for us. And then, you know, we're just all on our iPhones.
Martin Luther King Day.
I have a theory on that.
You know.
Like, when you think in the terms of video games, when video games went from, like, Pong to, like, Atari Pac-Man, right? And like, we've known about those, we've played them, and we've seen everything develop. But now there's kids that come out, and the first video game they play is Call of Duty 8, where they're stabbing people in the face, and you know, but it's like, that's their video game. And they don't appreciate the other stuff necessarily, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
He brought it back to video games.
Dude, it's all about the Mario Brothers.
But the thing is, I'm balanced because I still appreciate my Atari.
I got Nintendo 64 like a whore.
Oh, yeah. Aww. I almost bought, like, those, like, stupid fake Ataris, like, at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, where they give you, like, a certain amount of games and, like, a joystick?
I almost got it, and I'm like, this isn't real. This is fake.
Thrift stores.
That's exactly. And every time when I go to a thrift store, I don't ever see one. I used to see them all the time.
You got to pounce quickly, man. Yeah. You got to wait for the stars to twinkle, the sun to line up in the right shade, Mars waiting to be in retrograde, and then, you know, you can stumble across a find.
I will one day. I will have my Atari back.
I've never been a video game player.
Oh yeah.
It's just never.
Nintendo and Super NES.
Oh man. I remember the Return of the Jedi game for Super NES. I still want to play that game. I might go home and download an emulator so I can play that later.
I can't even conceptualize because I was never good at them. I don't have hand-eye coordination.
No one ever is.
No.
You must learn.
First of all.
No, I don't have that kind of time.
Come on, Skywalker.
Listen,
but
I used to play Super.
Things I'd want to do.
I used to play Super Mario Brothers for hours, and still to this day, I cannot get the princess. But I still try.
Yeah, you still try.
I still try, and people make fun of me the fact that I still can't get to the princess. Well, you know what? If there was a Nintendo in front of me, I would still keep trying, and I would do it for hours. I swear.
It's not about getting the princess. It's about trying to get the princess.
Still trying, and that's on the first Super Mario, ladies and gentlemen. That's sad.
Yeah. I just had to break it down with my date. I was like, you know, we've been talking for a while, and I just got to know, you know, how do you feel about Nintendo 64? You know, spit out your feelings now, because they're going to come to light if you try to hide them.
Yeah. I've never cared about video games. But I don't despise them. I mean, I've watched a lot of them, but I'll usually just read a book while, like, if he wants to play video games, I'll read a book.
Yeah.
I like to read books.
I like books, but I mean, I'm an old school gamer. Yeah. I'm old school. I stop.
Give me cartridges or give me death.
Exactly. I'm one of those. So, and I lost everything after 1997. So that's, yeah.
I just never experienced any modicum of success playing the games. And so I think I gave up so quickly because I just.
Determination.
Dude, interactive story, man. You got to earn your story. You got to get all the flowers. You got to get the sunshine rays and the fucking blue flute. And otherwise, you don't find out what happens to Jerry.
It's like I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, see, that's like me and Pete, we play video games, but I'm the kind of person where I play video games, I immediately set it on the hardest difficulty setting possible. And then, like, let's fucking play, son. Let's get some skill going, where he's like, you know, he's putting in God mode codes and shit, and he's cheating and stuff. I can't play with you, bro. I can't play.
He's talking about, like, some of the secret moves and shit, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hidden shit that nobody else knows.
You gotta push it real good.
Yeah.
Dude, what you gotta do is you gotta get yourself some boot tentacles. Yeah. You gotta get yourself a Nintendo 64.
No Nintendo.
And a bottle of water because you're not drinking. And then you gotta get in there and you gotta hammer out Legend of Zelda. They just had a thing.
I love
blind guy beat Zelda for Nintendo 64.
No way.
It took him 5 years, but he beat it just based off of audio cues of like the guys like click, 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 as they run along, and then, you know, the monster making a noise.
That's amazing.
Insane.
Insane. And I guess he live broadcasted himself trying this. So it's so weird to see someone playing a video game and they're not facing the screen. Like, it's like his left ear is like lining up to the screen and he's just working the controller listening.
Oh, damn.
It's fucking trippy, man.
With that, this has been the AltaCast here on MutinyRadio.fm. Took us in a weird direction at the end there with the
video games.
Yeah. With the video games.
If you're not Alta, you're not trying hard enough.
If you're not Alta, I'm definitely on that. Thank you guys for joining us here on the AltaCast. I'm Pam Benjamin. I've been joined by LaToya, the Sheriff of Truthwind, and Steve Poggi.
Old dumb face. That's my radio name now.
Dumb face.
If you want to see us later, we'll be at the SF Eagle doing open mic performance comedy. It'll be hilarious. Otherwise, you can always stop by here on Fridays for Bamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse, or earlier than that for happy hour if you want to get a set in, if you're so inclined to that sort of persuasion.
Yeah. I'll be here in February. You're here all the time.
Just look on Facebook. Please just come here on Fridays and Saturdays. Now I feel like I'm begging them.
It's a party.
It's a party. It's a party. There's great comedians. Okay, bye.
Tell me what food relieves insomnia, anxiety, stress, chronic brain, depression, nausea, and can induce euphoria and stimulate appetite?
I'm gonna guess waffles.
That is incorrect.
What?
Actually, Alex, the food I'm talking about are cannabis-based medicinal extracts.
Cannabis-based medicinal extracts? That sounds like you're smoking drugs, Ed.
No, baby. There are smokeless, safe, and less expensive alternative to smoking.
But can I use it to sleep?
Yes, baby.
Good, because I'm so excited by this that I may never sleep again.
And it sounds like you, Alex, may want to check out the number 4altacalifornia.com. That's 4altacalifornia.com for a non-addictive, pharmaceutical-free alternative to smoking medical marijuana. Check them out today at number 4altacalifornia.com.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the Internet Ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shit-Faced McRat.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You look like the kind of person who has a sense of humor.
Oh, is the radio talking to me?
No, I'm on an internet podcast.
I'm talking to an internet podcast?
Don't be silly. It's a one-way form of communication. But I don't want you to miss out on the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2016 from March 2nd through 6th. And you don't have to. You can buy tickets now on universe.com. With 24 national and international visiting comedians and 20 local hosts, you won't want to miss a thing.
What if I can't be at every show?
Don't worry. All shows will be available for free download at MutinyRadio.fm until the internet falls apart.
Oh, podcast God, I can't wait to listen to all these great comedy shows and everything else that's cool at MutinyRadio.fm before the internet falls apart.
You too won't want to miss a bit of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival. From March 2nd through 6th, 2016. Buy tickets now.
Brought to you by Subliminal SF, PBR, The Eagle SF, Brainwash Cafe, Asiento, and the great people at Alta California Botanicals.
Have you heard of Subliminal SF? Visual and auditory mind control. Graphic design, physical merchandise, live music promotions. Go! www.subliminalsf.com.
for the most amazing t-shirts you've ever seen, graphic design for every need, and live music promotion at some of the best bars in San Francisco. That's Subliminal SF, visual and auditory mind control. Go to subliminalsf.com now.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey. Yeah.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've been giving it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes.
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dag-nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
499.
The dictionary definition of the adjective eclectic is selecting or choosing from various sources. When Bay Area musician J.D. Buell brings you Morning Train Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon on Mutiny Radio, that is exactly what he does. Select music from various sources to give you a unique listening experience. Rock, pop, jazz, bluegrass, gospel, funk, reggae, folk, blues, country and western, electronica, soul, disco, rhythm and blues, punk and post-punk come together with music from around the world with Buell's passionate and down-to-earth delivery. In an age of personal music delivery systems, J.D. Buell carries on the values of progressive FM radio when a listener could actually have a relationship with a programmer, someone who would create an eclectic musical environment wherein both listener and host find fulfillment. The Morning Train with J.D. Buell, Wednesday, 10 to noon on MutinyRadio.fm. Freeform radio for free minds.
Did you know that compact fluorescent light bulbs use 60% less energy than regular light bulbs? And that each one saves about 300 pounds of carbon dioxide a year? If all Americans switched to CFLs, we would save more than 90 billion pounds of carbon dioxide. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Muni Radio in San Francisco.
P. People from all over the Bay Area come to the Lindsay Wildlife Museum to experience close encounters with live wild animals. The museum's living collection features more than 50 species of non-releasable native California animals. Visitors can see and learn about wildlife such as eagles, owls, bobcats, coyotes, reptiles, and other fascinating creatures. The museum's world-renowned Wildlife Rehabilitation Hospital treats more than 5,000 wild animals each year with the goal of returning them to their native habitat. The Lindsay Wildlife Museum is in Walnut Creek. To learn more, visit wildlife-museum.org. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio in San Francisco.
Safe sex is more than just avoiding STIs and pregnancy, no matter what you're into. Make sure that you and those around you feel safe, comfortable, and are having a good time. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
Meals on Wheels is dedicated to fostering independent living for San Francisco seniors by providing hot, nutritious meals delivered to their homes. They're committed to fostering independent living for as long as possible. For more information, please call Meals on Wheels at 415-920-1111. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio in San Francisco.
Welcome to the Think Grow Love Radio podcast, where it's all about women coaches, freelancers, and creatives growing their businesses online while balancing their family and personal lifestyle. Hey, everybody. Yehudit Steinberg here, and thank you so much for joining me here today for another episode of Think Grow Love Radio. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming on. We're so happy to have you join us.
Hello, hello. We are back on the JV show. Although it's more like the V show tonight, because I'm short one man. I'm short my main man.